Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to In the Barber Zone Radio. We're back. We had some technical difficulties, so we're going to start this thing back over. You're in the Barber Zone with your man Chavez right here on Barber Zone Radio. Now is Barber Zone Podcast, you know, right here through Blog Talk Radio. So we thank you for joining us. We apologize for our technical difficulties. First of all, when I scheduled the show, we were at the My Brother Keeper 100 launch luncheon, and I scheduled the show and everything, and I had it scheduled for 30 minutes instead of the normal 60 minutes. So I was in the middle of, while I was speaking to Brother Kojo, I was in the middle of trying to edit that to get it to the full hour of, like, our regular show. And I happen to look up, and I see the red and blue lights of a Columbus police car, complete SUV, and it's sitting right in front of my house. So it kind of startled me. So instead of hitting okay to adjust the time, I actually hit the button, and it stopped the show. So I apologize, y'all. You know, technical problems do happen. But this is just, this is like one of those cases where it's that trauma of being a black man and what's going on in our country and right here in our own city. And actually, there's something that may be happening in my neighborhood currently. And when I saw those lights, it kind of just scattered my brain for a few minutes. So, you guys, I apologize. But, hey, we're back. You're back in the Barber Zone with us, and we got Brother Kojo back, and we're going to get Brother Javier back in here. We're going to have a conversation about My Brother's Keeper, an initiative of the city of Columbus and an initiative of our president, Barack Obama. But I'll let Brother Kojo go into that more depth. So, again, you guys, I apologize for those technical difficulties, but we are back in the Barber Zone. We keep it moving like we do all the time, like you should do. We're going to be resilient, and we're going to keep moving, and we're just going to let that, you know, let that be a hurdle on our way to the finish line. So appreciate you guys again in the Barber Zone Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're also be found on our Facebook page, Instagram page, and also right here, and also on your favorite podcast platform. Just search In the Barber Zone and you will find us. So, again, we thank you for being a loyal listener. The number, if you would like to call in and tap into the show, if you may have any questions or anything, any concerns, the number is 563-999-3648. Again, the number is 563-999-3648. And without further ado, I'm going to get my brother Kojo back on the line. Brother Kojo,
yes, sir.
Welcome,
yes, sir,
back to the show. Sorry about that,
thank
good
you,
brother.
It's okay.
So we're going to start it back over, because, bro, hey, that shit me. I'm still looking out the window like, what's going on? The car's just sitting here, like, and I live in Southfield where I live. We don't have too many, you know, it's just going on. So for a, and where I live, the street, you know, ends right in front of my house. It dead ends in front of my house, so you have to either go right or left. And the police car is sitting right in the middle of the street. So if he backed up anymore, he would be in my front yard. So I'm looking like, wow, what's going on? So that kind of shook me a little bit, brother. So.
But Shabazz, that speaks again to the trauma of our experiences. We have different experiences when we see those lights to come in, and it's just this innate response just that is triggered, you know. Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm still sitting here looking like, why is it just sitting there? I mean, there's nobody out the car or whatever. It's just so odd. And, you know, just the things that are going on in our city and things like that is like, you know, I didn't set my gun on the couch right beside me, like, you know,
wow,
what's going on? Like, you know,
it
just kind of shook me for a second, but you know, we here, we moving. I'm in the house, I'm safe, so at least that's where we're supposed to be, able to be safe.
Absolutely.
In our homes. But you
absolutely
know, we've seen where individuals' lives have been taken, incidents have occurred outside individuals' houses that their lives have been taken by authorities. So, you know, I'm going to look out the window, but I'm going to stay away from the window. So
we're
going to keep this show going. Yes,
right.
So, it ain't my business. My business right now is being in the barber zone and talking to you, brother, about my brother's keeper. So
absolutely.
Let's just start it back up, you know, pull back for a little bit. And first, introduce yourself, brother, and let us know what my brother's keeper is.
All right, thank you, brother. My name is Kojo Kandi, Kojo Kandi. I'm the program manager for My Brother's Keeper Columbus. It's a department under the Department of Neighborhoods with the City of Columbus. My Brother's Keeper was an initiative outreach effort spearheaded by past President Barack Obama back in 2014. His call was really, as we saw some of the instances of violence to young people, and how do we address and help and protect and lift up boys and young men of color. And Columbus, the city of Columbus, from a government perspective, was one of the first cities across the country. There were 10 cities across the country that accepted this call to challenge. And that was very insightful and the foresight from the leaders at the time was to, hey, we want to be on the leading edge of this to lift up our community. And so, you know, everything that we do in our department, we're looking to identify, to support, to lift up, to potentially replicate organizations, programs, outreach that are doing things that impact and improve the lives of boys and young men of color as it addresses disparate impacted communities. And so, you know, while our focus is boys and young men of color, the byproduct is that everybody wins, the entire community wins. And so we don't exclude anybody. And so as long as we are identifying folks that applied the principles of the 6 MBK milestones. Allow me just to run through these real quickly here, Brother Shabazz. Making sure that students are ready and prepared to go to school, that they're physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually safe, and ready to learn, that they are ready to be able to read at grade level by the third grade. We want to make sure that when they graduate high school, that they are prepared for either college or career, and that's a big push academically that a lot of folks are doing. Once they finish school, let them get some additional training, something to improve themselves, that whether it be, you know, apprenticeship, whether it be college training, whether it be certificate training programs, whether it be military. But if they have an opportunity to do something after high school to improve themselves, that we support that. And then anybody who wants to work has the ability, option to work. And then lastly, to your point, seeing outside your window, brothers, is that we want to make sure that all young people, again, the focus is boys and young men of color, but all folks are kept safe from harm and safe from violence. And then if they do happen to have an incident where they're impacted or involved, engaged in the judicial system, they have a second chance at life and not just an afterthought there. So anything we do is going to come back and address one of those areas, and we think if we do that, the byproduct is, going back to the piece about setting up for the future, we need to be able to create hope and opportunity. And if we have hope and opportunity from our young folks, because we've helped them understand that there's an opportunity after high school, or we've kept them safe, or they may have stubbed their toe in a situation, but we showed them an opportunity that they can recreate a positive future. That's what young folks want. If we do that, we're good.
That's what Indy is looking to do. And that's what we need right now in our community, because we know that there are a lack of fathers in our community whatever it may be, whether it's the system, incarceration, lack of education, lack of family education, whatever it may be, where there is a lack of a father, there is a need for a program like this, something that is reaching back and filling that void in young men's life, so they're not just out in the streets, doing whatever and getting together and trying to make life solutions and guide, get through life with themselves without any adult supervision, gang members and, the negative influences that we have in our community. So programs like this are greatly needed. I mean, greatly needed. So how long has the program – yes, sir.
I do want to make one quick point before you ask that question here, and there is a void for families that don't have that traditional stable male figure in the household. But I got to tell you, we've got a network of folks to do it, and we're going to touch on the impact that Barbers have here shortly. But a young person needs to have access to a male figure if there's not one in the house, and if we can kind of create that proximity. Then we're okay with some of those outcomes as well. So I don't want to just say we throw our hands up because the fathers are not there. But if we have a network of committed allies, of adult allies who can stand in the gap with our young folks, we can see some benefits. Yes. To make a small point of clarification, brother.
And that's what we need. So, that's the name of the program, My Brother's Keeper. So I'm there to help you. You're my brother. I'm to help you get through life, and us barbers, a lot of times we're the only positive man of color, women of color, that a young man gets to see. We're entrepreneurs, we're working every day, we make good money, and we're engaging, we're in touch with the community. So we're the one that the young men get to see for that 30 minutes every 2 weeks. So,
absolutely.
I'm honored to be that type of individual in the trade that I'm in, and also to be a community, I guess I could call myself a community leader, partnering programs like this, and in the city of Columbus. So, I'm here just to help in whatever way I can. So,
absolutely.
That's why when we had this program, I said we got to get on here to talk about this. So, I appreciate you again, brother. Hey, you guys, you're in the Barber Zone with your man Chavez right here at Barber Zone Radio. Barber's Own Podcast. I got to get used to saying Barber's Own Podcast, because when I started, it was just radio. So now, they didn't move it up. It's, Barber's Own Podcast right here at barbersonpodcast.com. We're right here through Blog Talk Radio. So the number is 563-999-3648. And we're here talking with My Brother's Keeper, a initiative of the city of Columbus. I've got my brother Kojo Candio in here talking about the program, and we're going to have another brother to come up and have him share about the program. It's my brother Javier on here. I see we got him on the line. Brother Sanchez, I'll get to you in 1 second. So yeah, you guys, we had a good meeting on Monday with the barbers, and discussing MBK Columbus, which is the My Brother's Keepers for Columbus, Ohio, and what they have for the city and, you know, how, you know, we can connect with the barbers to help make the city a better place right here in Columbus, Ohio. So
I'm gonna bring my
programs like this, you have to have, you know, individuals that are in the city, you know, the shirt and tie people that go to all the meetings and, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's and, you know, deal with all the bureaucracy and the legal stuff and all that. But then you also have to have people in your program that are connected to the community. You have to have people in your program that are part of the community, that have come up in the community and look like the individuals you're trying to reach, talk like the individuals you're trying to reach, and at one time was one of the individuals you're trying to reach. So my man I got coming on here, Javier, man, he's that person, you know. He's the community person that came up in the community. Now he's giving back to the community. So, you know, without further ado, I'm going to bring my man, Brother Sanchez, on here. Good evening, good sir, and welcome to In the Barber Zone.
My guy, it's a blessing to be here. I appreciate the you sharing your time and energy with us and your space.
Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank both of y'all, brothers, because I know both of y'all had something going on and y'all altered y'all schedule a little bit to be on the show. So I thank you. Had a few technical difficulties. I apologize. We started a little 30 minutes behind. But again, that shows you guys commitment. You know, when we said, I'm like, you know, we started at 9:30. All right, no problem. So again, thank you, brothers, for what y'all are doing for the community. So, because with this show, if it's not brothers like you coming on the show, sharing your passion for the community, I would just be sitting here with a headset for 60 minutes doing nothing. So thank you guys again. Brother Javier, let us know what your position is with My Brother's Keeper and, you know, and how people can get involved with the program.
Yeah, so I've been doing this work with MBK for been about 10 years now. When we started in 2006, we started laying the groundwork through a national research project that we were doing called Moving Beyond Survival Mode. And we went to about 5 different cities, Chicago, Philly, D.C., Oakland, and Richmond, California, and did research with over 2,000 young men and their mothers and social service providers, did listening sessions. And we released a report called, like I said, Moving Beyond Survival Mode, which really informed the work that we do in terms of coping with urban trauma and learning to live above the circumstances and finding ways for young brothers to find strength even in the broken places, right? So then in 2013, we got funding from the Obama Foundation and the California Endowment to do another report, to release another national report, went to about 15 different cities, did listening sessions with black and brown boys, and we released a report called Heard Not Judged. And the information that we were able to gather from those listening sessions is really what informed the Obama Foundation and the direction they wanted to go with My Brother's Keeper. And so the work that I do in all these other cities and areas all over the country, my heart is always Columbus. I'm born and bred Columbus. I only lived in one other place besides Columbus. That's the Cayman Islands, a little island close to Jamaica and Cuba. Lived down there for a while growing up. But other than that, this is home for me. And so, you know, I've been around, you know, I do work all over the world, but always want to find ways to bring what I do outside of the 614 back here. And so I'm so excited about the opportunity to partner with the Department of Neighborhoods and My Brother's Keeper to the fire that they have already lit here in this city in terms of engaging these young men. And that's what we want them to know. Like, we want them to know you are not alone. Like, that's one of the things that leads to the hopelessness that a lot of young men experience is feeling like, I'm on my own. Ain't nobody looking out for me, so I got to look out for myself. Mm-hmm. And so we want them to know that we are here with you and for you, and we're here to serve you. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so it's real easy for me to engage with the Department of Neighborhoods and My Brother's Keeper because of where their hearts are at. Their hearts are in the right place, and I think it's being conveyed to the young men that have already engaged and that will continue to engage. We just want to see them find ways to find strength in the broken places and realize that they have allies. You know, there's no such thing as a self-made man or woman. I know our culture promotes that, but we mm-hmm. have to, kind of dispel that myth. You can't get through life alone. You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
And one of the things that is encouraging, like, despite a lot of the propaganda, like going back to the fatherhood thing, so two things. Number one, the research shows that black fathers that are engaged with their children are more engaged than their white counterparts. That's something you don't hear a lot, but it's, that's just the research. The research shows that black fathers that are engaged are more engaged than other fathers. And then the other thing that we know is that if people are to be successful and to thrive, they have to be connected to what we call non-parental, non-judgmental, caring adults. You might have a great
yes.
father. Or you might have a great father and mother, or you might just have a dope mother. But that's all fine and good and important. But it is essential for you, even if you have a great father, a great mother, or something in between, it is essential for young people to have a connection to non-parental, non-judgmental, caring adults, allies, mentors, advocates,
good brother, you
outside
know what that
of their home. Yeah,
and you know who that is? That's the
yep.
barber. That's
yep.
always
right.
us. We always what mom and dad say, they say. So what does Shavir say? We're always the one to reinforce what mom and dad are saying, or
right.
we're the ones to have that conversation that the young man won't have when.
Exactly.
With mom and dad are there. So that point right there, dude, is so true because, we be in the shop and cutting a little man, he like 10 or whatever, and we having conversations. And you know how you can just tell that somebody got something they want to say, but they can't say
right.
it? So they be, and then, like, sometimes we have to, I have to, from behind the head, be like, hey, mom, go outside so we can, mouth to her.
Right,
mom,
right.
go outside so
right.
we can talk. Or dad, go outside so we can talk. And parents,
right.
they understand what that is, and they understand the role that the barber has in their son's life. So what you said right there, bro, is right on the head. And you said that the other day, and I'm like, boom, that's us. The non-judgmental,
right.
the non-judgmental, non-family member. That's the barber.
Right.
That's
right.
always us. So, yeah. So, hey, y'all, we barbers, we fitting right into y'all, into the mission and to what's going on in the community. So that's dope. So let me ask one question, both of you guys, because we know that now there's more programming for young men of color, because of the things that's been going on in our community and in our country as far as the violence, where, from whatever means it's coming from. So how do we get this word of these resources out to the young men in a trusting way? Because, right now, black people, black men, is not trusting the police. They not trusting the city. They not trusting city initiatives right now. So how do we make it that we get these resources to these young men in a way that they're accepted of them?
Look, I'm going to say something real quick, and then I got to actually jump off because I actually have a show tonight. I told him, I was like, you got to give me a second because I got to get on this call. I promise
yeah.
I'm going to shut this show down, but let me get on this call first.
Yes, yeah.
But I will say this, one of the essentials is going back to our African roots, which is the oral tradition. That's how we get the information out. We share information amongst one another through oral tradition and storytelling. Again, why barbers are so important. Like putting out pamphlets and flyers and brochures and PSAs on the TV or radio or billboards. Like that's
right.
Non-traditional means of trying to connect with our young boys. It has to come word of mouth. It has to come
right.
from a voice that you trust. A face and a voice you trust. Let me add on to that. A face and a voice that you trust and you respect. And when it's coming from somebody you trust and respect, it's going to hit different, way different than a promotional flyer or a brochure or a hot card or something like that. Now, that's traditional. Traditionally, we go, programs or organizations can measure their success based on how many flyers they handed out or how many times their PSA ran on the radio or TV. And they would look at those numbers and say, this is our measure for success. MBK, Department of Neighborhoods, is saying, nah, it don't work like that. It's got to be word of mouth.
Absolutely.
It's got to be coming from a voice that these young men trust and respect. Going back to the if you count the number of people on one hand that they trust and respect, I guarantee almost every young man would say my barber, right? So no pressure to y'all, Javis, no pressure, but they trust and respect y'all, and so we are counting on y'all to be a conduit for this information, and not just y'all, because we are the initiative that MBK is rolling out is not starting and stopping with barbers. That's one component, but it is such a valuable component. So for me, the answer is that word of mouth, traditional oral storytelling, and those messages coming from a voice they trust and respect. Listen, I love y'all, and I'm so glad, Chavez, thank you so much for letting me get on here. I got to jump off. I wish I could stay on, but I got a show to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes. Hey, man, thank you, brother. Hey, keep doing what you're doing, man. The community is going to respond, man. I love you. Appreciate you, man, and be safe.
Absolutely. Peace.
All right. Yes, sir.
Peace.
All right. Thank you. That was Brother Javier Sanchez, man, from My Brother's Keeper. And I see we got some other individuals on the line. Hey, y'all, thank y'all for tapping in. I see y'all. We'll get to y'all in a minute. Y'all, we in the Barber Zone with your man, Chavez, right here. Blog Talk Radio / Barber Zone, better known as the Barber Zone Podcast. Find us at barberzonepodcast.com. We're talking with My Brother's Keeper, an initiative of the City of Columbus and a nationwide initiative, specifically here in Columbus, is NBK 100 Columbus. So we're here talking about community resources and how this program is going to be a positive resource for Columbus, Ohio. If you'd like to tap into the show, the number is 563-999-3648. Again, 563-999-3648. Brother Kojo.
Yes, sir.
I had something else I was going to ask you. It slipped my mind that fast.
While you're doing that, I want to add on to, real quick to what Javier said in a different piece, because you talked about, you know, all the resources that are available and how do we get the word out, and Javier shared with one way we're doing it. But I got to tell you, man, we're gonna have the resources set up like an old school buffet at on a Sunday brunch. We're gonna have something for everybody. It ain't no one size fits all. It ain't, hey, we're gonna come here, we're gonna do this thing, and it's gonna make the world better. We're gonna have something for the folks that are curious about, you know, this thing here, or curious about the color blue, or curious about math, or curious about singing, we're gonna have something for everybody to give them a pathway for their future, to show them hope and opportunity. And to your point about resources, we're playing with pennies, man. And we've got to put pressure and have the expectation on the folks that have resources, the funding agencies, the government agencies, to say you're going to pay for it in some way. Either you pay it on the front side or pay on the back side. It's a zero sum game. Let's pay more on the front side and improve our community, as opposed to coming on the back side and putting a Band-Aid on it.
Man, because that's what we do. A lot of times we wait for the things to happen, and then we try to, oh, my God. No, let's get ahead of that thing and try to be preventative instead of be, you know, proactive instead of reactive. You know, that's the whole thing. And tapping into these young people and letting them know that there's somebody that, that cares for them is you know, so vital because, bro, I get to see I get to see young men in a different way than a lot of people do. And they just like any other human being, they want to be loved. They want to be cared.
Absolutely.
They want to know that they matter. Not that, you know, they're just out here and nobody's looking out for them. So that's I'm loving this and I'm looking forward to being part of it because I just love to see the results of young men. Like, we see them in the place that they are, and then we get to elevate them into, you know, fathers and scholars and, you know, husbands and executives and things like that. Being able to pour into a young man's life like that is so awesome. So that's why I love being part of programs like this. So the one thing is I see we got a couple of individuals on the line. I'm going to bring my brother on here. Real quick, he's a fellow barber around the way, so I know what this number is. So with the 484-557, my man Craig in the building, man. Good evening, sir. You in the barber zone?
What's up, Vic fella? How you doing? Long time no
Everything.
See. I'm happy to see you still pushing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, man, I can't stop, won't stop. You know all that. So yeah, we
absolutely, Matt. But I missed a couple of shows, so I wanted to get on tonight. I really did. I wanted to just to see what's going on. I appreciate the brothers talking.
Yes, yes.
But I have a question for him, too. I have a question for him. Can I ask the question, if you don't mind?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. He's still on here. Yeah. Hey, be nice. Yeah,
right. All right. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware. I've been in the barber industry for over 30 years. Owned the business for 25, and I travel across the country teaching classes. So since we've been doing virtual in 2019, and then the show started back up this year, I've been teaching, and it's a lack of black men in the hair game that's coming out or just being vocal, anything. But one problem is going on that I see with y'all with every. I don't think a lot of black men is getting into any kind of program, and when they speak about the barbershop, you go on to what tradition, like the brother said, how it used to be. Those eras are over because a lot of young black barbers today, since the pandemic, from the age of 25 on up, are saying they're not even doing young black kid or brown kid. So if you say you're trying to reach the barbers to talk to the kids, they're not even taking kids no more. That's what's going on across the country because of I'm put it on this person because I think he started it all because hip hop runs the world. Fat Joe said the price is not yesterday's price. In turn, that triggered into so many people's young people's heads where they saying, parents, if your kid coming here and moving around, I'm charging $50, $40. They can't afford it.
Yes.
Or I'm just not doing
kids.
So the tradition of the black barbershop where the kids come to see the barbers over because them barbers that's popular on social media are making the most money, not even doing kids. You understand
I have heard that.
So in y'all program, y'all have to understand that too. If we're trying to, in the best place in any business is to push to the barbers. Every kid around this country that's into any situation has a barber or somebody that's cutting their hair or somebody that's dreadlocking their hair, male or female.
Right.
But yet if so many young men that's making money turn their life around through the barber game, say they're not doing kids, look at that method. Hey. So now when I go with Chavez, I didn't tell you, we down Florida at the premiere show, three black dads came to the show specifically. Not the they wasn't even barbers. They seen our picture and said, "Hey, we seen y'all picture." This is the black man told me and Juan. We seen y'all picture. Y'all look like brothers we can talk to. How much y'all would charge us to teach us how to cut our son's hair? Because the barbers are too high.
Well,
wow.
You understand what I'm saying? Because so many barbers, because of raising the price.
But I didn't. I saw that, and I was like, okay, but it didn't really hit me that people is really, really doing that. They are really not.
It's deeper than what you think.
And so now the game changed.
So now the tradition that all the people over 40 think the barbershop is no more. They got private shops now. I'm not doing no kids. You know what I'm saying? So now you got a whole lot of single black mothers or brown Latino mothers don't know where to take the kids. Because the average Latino male and black male only making $40,000 a year. They can't afford a $40 haircut for a kid.
Yes.
Because you got the rapper over here saying today's price is not what's going price.
Yeah, and I see that. I've seen that. And from my experience, the barbers be like, mom, get your kids, this, that, and the other. But from my experience, that goes into the training on how the barber is receptive to the young man. Because I've had instances, like personal instances, where I've cut a young man, and then another barber in the shop cut the same young man, and he actually flipped out. And I'm sitting in the chair like, wait a minute. He ain't act like this when I cut him. But it was the demeanor of the barber. So it was the demeanor of the barber and the little young man. You know, young people ourselves, we can sense people's energy. So I guess he switched his energy and he flipped out on the barber. And I'm sitting there like, you know, I ain't want to intervene and step on dude's toes, but I'm sitting there like, what's wrong with this situation? So Craig, that point you made is true, that there are a lot of barbers that have been influenced by social media and music, and now they're stripping away some of the important and the fulfilling part of this barber industry is pouring into young men and having them grow into young adults and become fathers, and then you cut their kids and that cycle go on. So that is a part that can be missed, but we got to make sure that it's not missed. Like the other day, I just realized, and I had to tell my man, I'm like, yo, you know, I've cut three generations of your family. I used to cut your dad. He brought you to me, and now I'm cutting your son. But if we get to a point where we not pouring into young men under five, then we're missing a whole generation of young men that we can tap into and to groom.
I was sitting in two panels on purposely. Listen to what I'm explaining to you. At two different specific places in the United States, at two different barber events, you got younger barbers under us that's in the mid-30s that just got a social media buzz is telling barbers, don't do kids if you don't want to. I don't think you understand the stress of barbers, social media barbers telling other barbers, you don't do kids. Just stick with your money because kids don't make you no money. You understand what I'm saying? That's a bigger problem if anybody's trying to push any message.
If I may jump in this to that point from the outside looking in, so one of the things I don't want to have us do when we think about our outreach and NBK is to tell you how to run your shop. I don't want to come in and move your furniture. We think about this outreach, we have to listen. And too often, and I don't like this word, and this is a word my wife came up with and said to point this out to me, when we talk about we want to target a community, that makes you a victim. That makes you vulnerable. When we talk about this outreach, I want to make sure we're being a valued partner. We consult and we hear. Because I don't know what we don't know. And so this perspective that you're bringing to the table is something we have to hear, and that's why we want to engage the barbers. It's got to be two-way street. It's a symbiotic relationship. I can't come in and be like, hey, man, look, I got this here. I'm in the city. I want you to do this. Who right. gotta say that? Kick rocks.
Right, right, right.
So
right.
I appreciate that. And so
right.
and so hopefully this conversation
yeah, that's
here,
what I wanted, right.
we can bubble that.
Yeah, hope I just want to give you that knowledge coming from the East Coast and a person that Chavez know I travel around to and I've come in contact with so many barbers and speak in front of barbers. That is on my I'm against it and I'm battling it every time. So that's
yeah.
why I'm going to everybody's panel saying that y'all are I'm not going to say y'all lie, but y'all giving a false situation to the new youth coming up. So they not even exposed to what the barbershop used to be like because they said I never even had a barber because they was too much.
Yeah,
I was getting home cuts the whole time.
And you know what? I just thought about something that may go into that mindset that they had. A lot of these 30-something barbers, these 20-something, almost 30-year-old barbers, these are the individuals that were the crack babies. These are the individuals who have households that are absent a father. These are the individuals
right.
whose fathers are incarcerated. So they've grown up and they don't have any man training. They don't have any
right.
training on how to pour into a young man because they've never been poured into themselves. So when
Absolutely.
It's like that and you don't know how to pour into someone, you're going to try to shun them away. So since they don't
right.
know how to pour into a young man, to talk to him, to get him comfortable, to give him a good haircut, they just say, forget it. We not cutting kids no more. We not doing that.
Right.
We not getting the whiny kid. They don't understand that a young man at 5:30 in the evening, he's not whiny. He's tired. He's mentally he's mentally exhausted from being up all day. He doesn't realize
right.
that young man needed a
Absolutely.
Nap, like the nap you took at 2 o'clock in your chair, or corporate person at your desk. When you nodded off that 30 minutes for that nap, that young man hasn't had that nap, and now at 5:30, he's just witless. He doesn't know what he's doing. So of course, not being able to express how he's tired, how he's exhausted, he becomes whiny and things like
right.
that. So we look at it as stop being a little punk, stop, you know, all those negative
yep.
words
right, right, right.
that we use for
yep.
young men that try to explain weakness instead of realizing that, okay, this young man is tired. So let me go
yep.
and cut his hair. Say, hey, little brother, you tired? You had a long day? Yeah. Engage
yep.
with him, and he won't be
yep.
whiny. But when you don't have that man training, you're not able
yep.
to train a young man into
right,
a
right,
man.
Right. Absolutely.
If y'all understand
yeah,
what
and
I'm
like
trying
I,
to say. So, yeah.
I love y'all programs, and I know for a fact that the barber industry is still on the high rise of a boom, and it's still a no one, and I always tell people during a political run and everything, I tell people all the time, you have to focus on the barbershops. Now I'm going to throw this dart in there, and I'm going to be quiet. Now, Chavez, I don't know, I'm downtown Wilmington, Delaware. When Joe Biden was running for president, his headquarters is around the corner from my shop. He rolled past my shop to get to his headquarters. So when y'all see him come live every day when he was running on the stage, that's around the corner from my shop. Feel this.
Wow.
So, and I know Joe Biden, at least he stopped and waved at the barbershop because he knew how important the barbers were.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Feel that?
Right.
Other people don't. You understand what I'm saying? At least,
right.
and I'm talking to, he. At least he didn't have to do that even though he was coming past every day. He made sure he put
right.
his hand out because he knew we was here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He knew the significance of what a barbershop is, and at it all, he a Caucasian male. He knew the that's where I know all the guys in this town, the important people or anybody are at if I need information.
Right.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so
yes,
still
yes, yes.
no the barbershop no one attacks the barber industry for any information. I don't think like they should. They don't. No matter what race it is, the barber industry is the number one place to boom. Now, one last thing.
Yep.
When Ice Cube came out with the first movie, Barbershop, a lot of people don't know. Majority of every barbershop, I don't know how he did it without the internet, he sent the Barbershop movie poster to the shop.
Yeah, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Everywhere. Mm-hmm. So somebody on his staff knew, but it was only he sent to the African-American shops. That's what I'm saying? So now with social media, right, marketing, before social media, now with social media, it's easier, but still no one is attacking them for pushing the information through the shops. You say the kids are there, and they are, but there's no attack.
But all right, good brothers. Hey, I appreciate y'all. We about to get wrapped up. We got like another minute or so going on the show. Hey, but, you know, we're going to keep going. Craig, you know how we do. But before we get off here, Brother Kojo, if anybody wants to get involved with the program, how would they do it? Give us the website, the phone numbers, all that good stuff, just in case anybody wants to.
And just, I want to put a button on this here. When we talk about the barber outreach under MBK, the program is called MBK 100. We're looking for 100 barbers across the city of Columbus to stand in the gap with our young folks and to be a network, to be a phalanx, to be a pulling nose guard to clear the lane for everybody. And if we get 200, we get 250, we get 300, that's great. But I'm looking for 100 barbers across the city to stand arm in arm as we look to be a force and an elevated presence in the city. But if you want to be engaged with MBK 100, listen, my email is knkandi@columbus.gov, knkandi@columbus.gov. My office phone number is 614-645-7371, 614-645-7371. And because I know y'all are dope, I'm going to give you my cell phone. It's 614-989-0535. 614-989-0535. Our socials on Instagram is MBK_Village. And on Facebook, it's MBK or Columbus MBK Village. MBK Columbus Village, excuse me. MBK Columbus Village. But if you are interested, you can reach out to Chavez. Chavez is an ambassador for MBK 100. You can reach out to me directly. You can reach out to anyone you see posters that pop up. How can I get more information? We're here for you.
Hey, I love it. I love it. I love it. And I'm looking forward, man, to as a police squad car is sitting out in front of my house. I couldn't even go to the store if I wanted to right now. I've got to be a part of this to continue to, you know, pour into our young men of the city because, you know, we got too much craziness going on. You know, that situation last night where we had, you know, the young man and then the two young people just senseless, just senseless.
Yeah,
so we've got to be better. City of Columbus, we've got to be better. Men of our community, we've got to be better. Parents.
Absolutely.
We have to be better parents. We can't be our children's friends. We have to be our children's parental figure. That doesn't mean, you know, you can't have fun with them, but you have to be a leader. You have to be the one guiding them through life, and not just by words, by your actions, the way you carry yourself, the language that you use, your conflict resolution, your emotional maturity. The way you handle situations is the way your child is going to handle situations.
They're
so if you handle them with violence, your child is going to handle them in violence, and that's going to be in school and in life. You know, we just saw where the young man down in Michigan got the gun from his father. His father brought him the gun, and they had conversations about violence. And what did that young man do when he faced a situation? He turned to what he learned from his parents, which was violence and shooting a gun, and he killed people. And, y'all, we see that his parents are held responsible. So that's the thing. Like, when we grew up, if you did something wrong, it reflected on your parents and your family name.
Yep.
You know, that's why growing up, like, I lived in the house where my grandparents lived. This is where – you know, this is my family house.
That's community, right?
Yes, this is family name. So when I came up, I had to make sure I did things that didn't tarnish the moment family name. Of course, I wasn't perfect, but I did my best not to do anything, not to tarnish my name, but my parents and my grandparents' name. And so now the family structure is so different that young people don't have that family pride. You know, it's not the same. And we get to see it in the barbershop all day, every day. So people that's listening to the show, thank you for listening to the show. But what I want people to do is to tap into more programs like this, like My Brother's Keeper in your city, in your area, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Urban League, you know, things that give back to your community no matter what you look like. I'm a man of color, Brother Kojo is a man of color, so we give back to young men of color. But whatever community you're from,
absolutely,
give back to that community and make it better, because we can't be talking about what the president is doing and what the governor is doing and what the mayor is doing if we're not doing our part. Like Brother Kojo, during the meeting the other day, we were talking about get involved in your area commission, your civic association, the people that make the rules for your community. And what a lot of people don't know about me, what a lot of people don't know about me is I was the president of the Mayor and Franklin Civic Association for 2 to 3 years, almost 3 years, where
I didn't know that.
Brother, yes, I was the president of the Mayor and Franklin Civic Association, where we were responsible for revitalizing Watkins Middle School. We were responsible for getting the sidewalks and the new sewers up and down Fairwood and Lockbourne so our children could walk to school without having to walk in, you know, in the street. You know, I was responsible for the writing of what they called the Tri-South Plan, which was the three neighborhoods on the south side to help us with resources in our community. So when I do stuff, I'm like, I'm not just talking about this. You can go back to the record and find out where I was the president of my civic association from being a barber, wanting to put a barbershop in my community, and found out that my community couldn't get resources because we were located a half a mile south of the railroad track where the funding stopped. So that's why Southfield has never really been developed, because all the city money, do you remember when they had the White House Empowerment Zone? The White House Empowerment Zone stopped right at the railroad tracks, right there at Refugee.
Wow, Chavez.
A mile north of Southfield. So we couldn't get any of that community revitalization money because everything stops at the railroad tracks. So that's how I end up becoming the president of the Mayor Franklin Civic Association, because I actually went down to city hall meetings, and this and this is what I said when the people were out rioting and protesting of, you know, the violence in the city. Nobody can hear you when you're in the street with 1,000 people. And this is what I was saying, Brother Kojo. We had individuals in the city of Columbus that were protesting and marching in front of city council, in front of the state house. But on Monday at 4 o'clock, none of them individuals were inside of city council at the meeting expressing their grievances, where they could have been heard and they would have been recorded on record. You can't be in the streets yelling unless you go inside to where the people can hear you, and they write it down, and they've got stenographers and they got recordings. So that's what I did. Instead of yelling to the people, I went and yelled at the city council, why isn't there money for the south side? And I ended up, people, we have to take care of our community and take care of our own, and we have to be our brother's keepers. So, you know, big up to the city of Columbus and, you know, the program coordinator right here, my brother Kojo, for, you know, stepping in and taking that responsibility of driving this ship and making sure that, you know, we be a positive point in the city of Columbus. So before we get out of here, good brother, is there anything else that you would like to share about the program, about yourself, about the community before we get up out of here?
Well, the only thing I would share is that we are trying to come up with new ideas and new ways to engage. And so, you know, when we come out to you, know that we are coming from a place of love. We're coming from a place of support. And if you can just hear us and then act. Hear us and then act. And I will support your comment just now, brother, that the way to make our communities better, one of the biggest ways is to be engaged civically and to be engaged at the local level. And we can throw our hands up about what, you know, Congress people are doing or the president is doing or the senators are doing. But it's these local civic commissions that get things done and work. And if you don't like what you see outside, that's the first place you can go. And we hear anything coming from our brother's keeper, we're doing just to make all of our lives better.
Yes, sir, brother. Again, I thank you. I thank everybody that was on the show and everybody that's listening. Y'all, if y'all hear this, share it. And if you're in
Absolutely.
A city that has my brother's keeper, please tap into him, see what resources you can provide so, you know, we
Absolutely.
Can be some positive vehicles for our young people, y'all, because they need us. They need us
Absolutely.
Bad. And just a little thing. Y'all, we have Walking in My Blessings is hosting, just so we can try to do our part, we're hosting a Father and Sons Night at the Cavaliers. That's December 26th, the day after Christmas. We're looking to take at least 50 fathers and sons on a bonding experience to a NBA basketball game to see the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Toronto Raptors. So hit me up, social medias, call me, text me, and find out more information if you want to be involved.
Awesome.
We got an awesome deal. It's $35, buy one, get one free, Father's Night special. So you and your son can go see the Cavs for $35. That's the total. Two tickets, $35, early entry. We got lunch, you know, hot dogs, sodas, and chips, but you were going to have a great time. So, again, we appreciate all the encouragement, all the support, and we thank you. Yo, this is the end of the show. You were in the Barber Zone with your man Chavez right here, and we were talking with my brother's keeper, MBK 100 Columbus, the initiative of the Columbus of the city of Columbus, along with my man Kojo Kandai. We also have my brother Javier Sanchez on here, and you know my barber brother Craig Skill stopped in for a second. So you guys appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Share this episode with your families and friends. You can find it on any of your podcast platforms. Just search In the Barber Zone. And until next week, y'all. Hey, do something good for the community. But hey, walk in your blessings and continue to be great, and brother. Appreciate you. Have a great night, and we will talk some more
you.
On how we can be better in the community. Peace and good evening.
Absolutely. Y'all stay up.
Yes, sir. Yes.